Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
What verse number?
Four,
yeah. Here.
Tato Hasan Sabhagavan Asuraya Nirapatrapaihi Anviyamanas Tarasa Kudho Bhitak Parabhatat Tato Hasan Sabhagavan Asuraya Nirapatrapaihi Anviyamanas Tarasa Krudho Bhitak Parapatat Tataha. Then Hasan, laughing, Saha Bhagavan, the worshipful Lord Brahma, Asurai, by the demons, Nirapatrapaihi, shameless, Anviyamana, being followed, Tarasa, in great haste, Kuddaha, angry, Bhita, being afraid, Parapatat, ran away. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The worshipful Brahma first laughed at their stupidity. But finding the shameless Asuras close upon him, he grew indignant and ran in great haste out of fear. Purport. Sexually inclined demons have no respect even for their father. And the best policy for a saintly father like Brahma is to leave such demoniac sons. Hare Krishna. Many living entities want to establish position for themselves in the material world by having children. No, I'm sorry. There's money in the drawer. Living entity is mortal. We're living in Martya Loka as a place where we're dying all the time. A place can be named by what activity is prominent in that place. A place where they build a certain machine or something, maybe known after that thing that is manufactured there. So this realm of Bhuloka is also called Martya Loka, because what's the most prominent activity here? Dying. People are dying here all the time. Practically, it's all we do. Every minute, we're dying. Just like the flies who are dashing into the light of the lamp. And all we see is so many flies committing suicide. Like that, the living entities in this part of the universe are living very short lives And practically all the time they're dying. This is Martyraloka. So because we're mortal, because death is staring us in the face, we want to perpetuate our existence. We do it by having children. Our name, our fame, our personality will be perpetuated, will be carried on by our children. I cannot keep my body alive forever, but I can have my children and they can have their children, and my dynasty will continue as long as the sun and the moon shine in the sky. So this is the attempt at the mortal being to become immortal through his children. But it's a very iffy, very risky endeavor. Just like warfare is risky. You can win, but you can also lose. You can lose your life on the battlefield. Doing business is risky. You can make money, or you can lose all your money. So similarly, trying to establish your immortality by having children is very risky. Of course, the children may die. A small child is called kumara. That means, here ku means easy. He can easily die. In the first years of life, there's all risks of death from disease and from the very frail body of the infant. So he's called kumara. He can die too easily. Even if he does survive, even if he grows to maturity, what is the guarantee that he'll be a good son? That he will represent your reputation and your character the way you want it represented? Maybe he'll turn bad. Maybe he'll be disobedient. So it's very risky. It's an attempt at perpetuating your existence, but you may perpetuate something you don't want perpetuated. So Brahma is even at the beginning of creation, Brahma is seeing this fact in his own life. These sons are turning out to be bad sons. Fortunately, he has so many opportunities to create other sons. For the rest of us, to have a child takes all of our assets. The man expends his life force in the form of semen to have the child. Loses his potency. But that's just the beginning of it. He spends 20 years of his life supporting that child and bringing him up, working very hard to make money to support the child. So it's not easy to have a lot of children. You have to have a lot of assets and a lot of potency to expend to have so many children. But Brahma, because he's creating these children asexually, directly from his subtle body, he doesn't suffer that complication that we do. He's not losing his potency. He's not having to suffer the difficulties of making money to raise a child. For him, it's all on a subtle level. So he can create so many children without too much trouble. So here's another difficulty in his path, that he's created these rakshasas and now they want to eat him. But he runs away from them and moves on to the next attempt to create somebody better. So I'll read the next verse also, if you don't mind. Text 25. See what Brahma does next. Sa upavraja varadam Jai Shri Krishna Balaram Giriraj Maharaj. Sa upavraja varadam Prapan arti haram harim Anugrahaya bhaktanam anurupatmadarshanam. He approached the personality of Godhead, who bestows all boons and who dispels the agony of his devotees and of those who take shelter of his lotus feet. He manifests his innumerable transcendental forms for the satisfaction of his devotees. Purport. Hear the words Bhaktanam Anurupatma Darshanam mean that the personality of Godhead manifests his multiforms according to the desires of the devotees. For example, Hanumanji, Vadrambaji, wanted to see the form of the Lord as the personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, whereas other Vaishnavas want to see the form of Radha Krishna, and still other devotees want to see the Lord in the form of Lakshmi Narayana. The Mayavadi philosophers think that although all these forms are assumed by the Lord, just as the devotees desire to see him, actually he is impersonal. That's what the Mayavadis think. From Brahma Samhita, however, we can understand that this is not so. Jai Shri Gurnitai. For the Lord has multiforms. It is said in the Brahma Samhita, Advaitam Achyutam. The Lord does not appear before the devotee because of the devotee's imagination. Brahma Samhita further explains that the Lord has innumerable forms. Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamen Atishtan. He exists in millions and millions of forms. There are 8,400,000 species of living entities. But the incarnations of the Supreme Lord are innumerable. In the Bhagavatam it is stated that as the waves in the sea cannot be counted, but appear and disappear continually, the incarnations and forms of the Lord are innumerable. A devotee is attached to a particular form, and it is that form which he worships. We have just described the first appearance of the boar within this universe. There are innumerable universes, and somewhere or other the boar form is now existing. All the forms of the Lord are eternal. It is the devotee's inclination to worship a particular form, and he engages in devotional service to that form. In a verse in the Ramayana, Hanuman, the great devotee of Ram, said, I know that there is no difference between Sita Ram and Lakshmi Narayana forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But nevertheless, the form of Rama and Sita has absorbed my affection and love. Therefore, I want to see the Lord in the form of Rama and Sita. Similarly, the Gaudiya Vaishnava loves the form of Radha and Krishna, and Krishna and Rukmini at Dwarka. The words Bhaktanam Anurupatma Darshanam means that the Lord is always pleased to favor the devotee in the particular form in which the devotee wants to worship and render service unto him. In this verse it is stated that Brahma approached Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This form of the Lord is Karunadakta Shai Vishnu. Whenever there is some trouble and Brahma has to approach the Lord, he can approach Kshirodaka Shai Vishnu. And it is the grace of the Lord that whenever Brahma approaches about disturbances in the universe, the Lord gives him relief in so many ways. So here it's, is it in this verse? Yes. Bhaktanam Anurupatma Darshanam. Anugrahaya. In order to show favor to the devotees, to be kind to them. Bhaktanam Anurupa Atma Darshanam. He shows himself, but in the way that the devotees want to see him. Krishna reciprocates like that with every living entity, what to speak of his devotees. Ye yata mam papadyante. Tams tataiva bhajamyaham. Prabhupada translates everyone. As they surrender to me, I award them accordingly. So even those who are not actually surrendering to Krishna directly, they're surrendering to something. Something that's actually Krishna's representation. They may be surrendering to their country. Deshbhakta. Deshabhakta. Patriot. But that country, the government, is simply the representation of the ruling power of the Supreme Lord. The demon and atheist doesn't want to surrender to anyone. He will not put his head on the ground, bow down to anyone. But he's forced to bow down by death. If he doesn't come to the temple of the Lord and offer pranam, if he never offers pranam to the Vaishnavas, he won't make one pranam at the time of death. He'll be knocked down onto the ground and his head will finally touch the ground. If he won't surrender to anyone else, he'll have to surrender to death. So everyone surrenders. And certainly death is the representative of the personality of Godhead. So everyone is surrendering to Krishna directly or indirectly. Therefore, yeyatama papadyante. Everyone, as they surrender to me, in the form of Govinda, or in the form of their country, or in the form of death, I respond accordingly. According to the bhava, if they hate me, if they neglect me, I'll neglect or hate them. If they want to cheat me, I'll cheat them. If they want to love me, I'll love them in the particular mood of love that they have. So for his devotees, that same Supreme Lord, who's reciprocating with all living entities in various ways, reciprocates in loving relationships. And then which relationship, which form he appears in, depends on the mood of the particular devotees. So he appears in all different times and places, in so many different incarnations, because he has different kinds of devotees in different places and times, who want to see him in these various forms. Hanuman wanted to see the Lord as Ramachandra. That cannot be changed. He cannot, and he doesn't want to change his swarupa and become a devotee of Radha Krishna. We read in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narada visits Hanuman and tries to tell Hanuman, you're the greatest devotee. And Hanuman says, no, the Pandavas are greater devotees than me. You should go visit them in Hastinapur. They are great devotees of Krishna, much more loving and intimate than I am in my service. And he becomes so enthusiastic when Narada decides, yes, I will go to this back to the earth, to Hastinapur, and I'll visit the Pandavas. Hanuman says, yes, and I'll go along with you. Let's both go. But then he reconsiders, I'm sorry. I was enthusiastic for a minute, and I wanted to go with you to meet the Pandavas and Krishna. I realize that the Pandavas are better devotees than me, and that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan. But here I am, on Kim Purusha Loka, engaged in the service of Lord Raghunath. I cannot leave his lotus feet to go somewhere else. On second thought, I can't go. Sorry, I have to stay here. I cannot go and worship Krishna. I have to continue my service, eternal service to Lord Sitarama. So the swarup cannot be changed, especially of a pure, fully surrendered devotee. He will not change his bhava. But whatever the bhava is, whatever your swarupa is, Krishna appears in a suitable form and reciprocates with you. We just have to uncover that swarupa, that ecstasy of loving attraction, and Krishna will reveal himself as accordingly. So Brahma, his worshipable Lord, is the Purusha. Here in the earth, I'm rather, in this, in this world that Lord appears on Shweta Dvipa as Shirodapa Shai Vishnu, the third Purusha. But again, Sanatana Goswami describes that the Mahapurusha also appears on Brahma's own planet, Satyaloka, and he's there all the time, accepting the worship of Brahma, the worship in the form of sacrifices that he and his sons perform for the pleasure of the Mahapurusha. That's the worshipable Lord of Brahma. The Lord appears in that form to reciprocate with Brahma. We are following in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who himself is in the mood of, is Krishna himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So the principal bhava of Lord Chaitanya's sampradaya is the worship of Radha Krishna. But not everybody is naturally a devotee of Radha Krishna. Many living entities are devotees of other forms of Krishna. That is also accommodated for. Not that everybody has to become a gopi, or even everybody has to worship the form of Radha Krishna. Following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by chanting Hare Krishna, and participating in the Sankirtana movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will uncover our own Swarupa, whatever that is. And Krishna will appear to us in whatever form we're naturally attracted to. And that is perfectly natural, and it is also authorized by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Rupa Goswami, at the very beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, describes Krishna as Akila Rasamrita Murtihi, the embodiment of all the rasas, not just the Madhurya Rasa, but all of the rasas. And in order to enjoy those different rasas, he needs different devotees in these rasas. So that we shouldn't worry about. It's just our material consciousness that makes us think we have to be the best thing. I have to be a gopi, else I'm inferior. But who cares, superior or inferior? We want to realize our sarupa. That should be the pure attitude. It's material consciousness that I have to be the best, because of the enviousness and competitiveness in the material world. Everyone has to struggle to be the best, otherwise you'll be oppressed, pushed down. But no one is oppressed or pushed down in the spiritual world. The lowest blade of grass or pebble is glorified. And whatever your sarupa, whatever your relationship with Krishna is, that's good for you, and that will give you full satisfaction. There's no need to be the best. Let Krishna be the best. We just have to be what we are in our personal relationship with Krishna and the devotees, that's all. So Brahma is being what he is, he's doing his service. If there's some complication or difficulty in it, that's life in the material world. But he's to be glorified. He's doing his service. He's realizing his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. So we should not ever find any fault in Brahma. He's a great devotee. And whatever is happening to him is his leela. This is the pastime of his working very hard to carry out the Lord's order. It's easy to pose as a sadhu if you're not doing anything. You can sit and make a show of meditating, or of, chanting 5 or 6 or 7 lakhs a day. And everyone will think you're great. But it's, if you try to do active service, you may make mistakes trying to do something in the material world. Of course there are going to be failures and mistakes trying to use the material energy in Krishna's service. And then people will find fault. Let them find fault. Better to do whatever you can to try to satisfy Krishna and the pure Vaishnavas. Then it doesn't matter what fault finders think. And it doesn't, failure or success doesn't matter. What matters is the attempt. Atova prapsyate swargam. Arjuna, don't worry. If you're killed in this fight, you'll attain swargaloka.
Jitva va bokshase mahim.
And if you win, you'll enjoy the earth. So go ahead and fight. We should struggle for Krishna's service, whether there is apparent success or failure. We try to preach, and if nobody wants to listen, at least we tried. We have satisfied Krishna by attempting, even if no one else is satisfied with us. So that's Brahma's attitude. Let his sons laugh at him. Let the demons, who are his own sons, try to devour him. But he's going to go on with his service. He's not going to give up. You know, after having so many bad sons, he could have decided to just give up the whole thing. Let someone else create this universe. I quit. But he doesn't. He's very perseverant and enthusiastic to simply go on with his service. And then everything will come out all right. The universe is well constructed thanks to the sincere endeavors and devotional service of Brahma. And we should all be very grateful to him for that. Okay, so I'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, please.
We see that Brahma runs away from his sons to war. But how is it not powerful enough to withstand his own sons?
Well, what is he supposed to do? Kill them? You know, they're supposed to be these demons. That's part of the plan. Demigods are not supposed to have it so easy. They're supposed to be these opponents, the asuras, who always harass the demigods. That is what they're going to have to put up in the material world. That's part of Krishna's plan. So he can't just destroy the asuras. You know, they're supposed to live. So all he can do is run away from them. He has to let them be asuras, but he can't. If he lets them get near him, they're going to try to eat him. So he just runs away. It's the appropriate thing to do in the situation. I think Prabhupada says that in the purport. That's the right thing to do. And the best policy for a saintly father like Brahma is to leave such demoniac sons, just to go away from them. They're going to be what they are. And in this case, it's part of Krishna's plan for the development of the universe. So Brahma just has to run away. That's just part of the fun. But the main idea is he has to just leave them aside and let them be what they are. Go on to the next generation.
But we can see that he not just runs away, but he, how to say, gets some protection from
the. That's a good thing too. Why not do that all the time? In success and failure.
Yeah, that's understood. But it means that he has some protection. I mean, he's not able to protect himself. I mean, I understand that.
Yes. Yeah, living entity is not able. Name me any living entity. And it's a fact for him, no matter who he is, that he can't protect himself without taking shelter of the Lord constantly. Arjuna, such a great fighter. He was invincible because he was taking shelter, because Krishna was protecting him. And to prove it, when Krishna disappeared, he took Arjuna's power away. And Krishna himself came in the form of the cowherd boys, a band of bandits, gopas, walas, who stole the queens of Dwarka from Arjuna, and he couldn't fight back. He lost his power. Krishna played that trick to make the point that because, and Arjuna really understood it, that because Krishna was directly protecting me, I was invincible. And when he stopped protecting me, then I had no power. So a great warrior like Arjuna, he's also helpless. Without Krishna's mercy, he has no power. He can't save himself. A Vaishnav should always think that. So Brahma, this is appropriate for Brahma or any Vaishnav, that when there's difficulty, you should simply go to Krishna and beg for help. Nothing inappropriate in that. If Brahma were to show his own power, what would that prove? It wouldn't teach the lesson that he's actually dependent on Krishna. Huber getting the transcendental lesson that Brahma and everybody else is actually dependent on Krishna for all success. Okay?
Well, I didn't say this. I didn't have enough problem.
Yes.
Always a problem. Thinking about that.
He didn't have to do it.
We are able to do it. We have to do it.
Yes.
Only, I would say, the circumstances, condition, I cannot change anything. Then
yes.
I approach it correctly about the beginning. Otherwise, no. Otherwise, people say, you see, he's lazy, just, oh, whatever. Just people are able to do it. We have to do some service. Or just.
Yes.
I didn't say it's inappropriate. It was 100% appropriate.
Yes. Well, maybe Brahma could have done something else. Maybe Brahma could have neutralized the suns some other way without going to Vishnu. But he didn't choose to. You know, his first inclination was just go to Vishnu in this situation. I don't know what else he could have done. Maybe there was something else. Yeah.
It's like, you know, Brahma has so many things to do. He does so many things.
Yes.
I mean, he doesn't go...
Yeah, complaining to Vishnu over every little thing.
Yeah.
And this is not the biggest thing in the world. A couple of, you know, puny demons. Now, but... I don't know, it's just the pastime. He wanted... Yeah. And it doesn't mean that he had no alternative. But he chose this as alternative. To just go to Vishnu. Why, you know, what else he could have done? Those details are not dealt with here. Which one?
After some was, it will come.
Oh, to take care of the demons.
Yeah.
To attract them. The first thing he did was went to Vishnu. Then with Vishnu's inspiration, he came up with an idea. So he did do something. Not that he couldn't do anything, but even with the ability to do something, his first inclination is to go to Vishnu. He has power, but he thinks himself helpless. That's appropriate. Okay.
The form of Brahma, he did everything. And the form of Brahmastra,
Is Brahma?
Yes.
He is destroying
also the creation. Oh, yes? No, sorry. That form of Brahmastra.
Yes.
He is destroying the universe.
Can't destroy the universe, yes.
Why? He is creating, but again he is destroying.
You mean Brahma created the Brahmastra? You know, I never thought of Brahma. I thought it was neutral, you know, neuter, Brahman, like Brahman. I didn't know it belonged to Lord Brahma. It belongs to Lord Brahma? I don't know. He has the power to create, to destroy. He can destroy the universe, but I don't think Lord Brahma actually does it ever. He lets Lord Shiva do that. But he has the power to destroy the whole universe. He created it, he can destroy it.
The form of a Brahmastra.
Yes.
I don't know where it is.
But he doesn't use it. It's like these atomic weapons that they don't use. You know, it's a potential power. It's not that he's actually going around destroying the universe. I don't think he ever did it. I don't think Brahmastra's weapon was ever used to destroy the whole universe. But they're using it just in a limited way, you know, to destroy one embryo or something. It's not used much. You don't read about the how many times was Brahmastra weapon used during the Battle of Kurukshetra? Not used, I don't think. Just at the end, you know, Ashwatthama tried to use it. Too dangerous. It would kill everybody. But I didn't even know that that's Lord Brahma's weapon, is it? Okay. Yeah, I thought it was a weapon of impersonal Brahman. I don't know. But he has power. He can destroy, but it's not his job. Just like someone who is a higher officer He can do the job of the lower officer, but it's not his job. You know, he sends the chaprasi to get the files out of the cabinet. He can do it himself, but it's not his job. Sure, he can pick up a piece of kujar grass and kill them also. He could kill them, but the problem is he's not supposed to kill them. That's the difficulty. They're supposed to live, these demons. So he can counteract them, but he's not supposed to. He's supposed to let them go on, be what they are. Okay. Anyway, all these details, I don't know. There may be more to the story, but it's not discussed here. I can't really guess why Brahma didn't do something else. Maybe he could have, but he didn't. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.